Okay, this is a little weird.
So I go. You go.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, do you think musicians get more nervous playing in front of a sold-out stadium or in an intimate setting like a living room show?
I don't know, Jim, but I sure do get a weird nervous feeling in my stomach when I think about Ramona Jones in a cornfield.
Patrick, I want to ask you this question before we get going here. How are you on the acoustic guitar?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
That's actually, interestingly enough, the first guitar I ever had was an electric guitar, but I never started writing songs until I started writing them on an acoustic guitar. And I think one reason was it's hard to like sit by yourself and play an electric guitar without your amplifier. And, you know, and like that's hard to do.
You can do it. It makes some
sound. You can do it. It's pretty loud. Yeah. So that's what I used to do when I first started writing songs. I would literally just turn the TV on and watch, you know, sports or watch a show or a movie and just fiddle around with the acoustic. So when I got an acoustic, that's really when I started writing songs. So I like it a lot.
Do you ever play more sort of like traditional music like these guys play?
Yeah, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I like those old tunes. Yeah. I've learned a few Carter Family tunes the years. Yeah. We can sing those. Yeah.
What about mandolin? Have you ever tried that?
No, I never have. But I do have a banjo at my house that's
under repair. Oh, yeah.
So we're getting there. It's almost done.
It's in the workshop?
Yep.
All right.
It's in the workshop. It's up on the table. It's up on the lift.
On this episode, we're talking with Mandolin Orange, Andrew Marlin and Emily France, and thank you very much for being on our show. We talked with them backstage at 930 Club, where they had a sold-out show.
That was so cool. We were talking to them just as the doors opened and people were starting to filter in, so you got a little bit of the vibe of the show that was coming up. It was kind of exciting, and they were really nice to come
super
and spend
nice.
Their time. I know. So nice.
It was great. So if you haven't listened to the first two parts of the interview, you can go back and do that.
Definitely do
now.
That.
You can just hit pause and you can come back to this episode.
You always want to be caught up.
But in this third part, we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. So it's going to be a fun ride. So
yeah,
you're going to want to hear that. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linhan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And let's get right to the interview with Mandolin Orange.
Ain't I got
able to interview a couple guys from Yep Rock on the 20th anniversary. They were kind enough to spend some time talking to us. Talk about your relationship with that label and why it's such a, you know, a good home for you guys and the way they do things. And I'd love to hear kind of how you got started with them.
It's such
as
an eclectic
label.
It's
a great label. I love the way they do business and everything they do.
Yeah, it's been really cool. I mean, we always knew of them because they're based in Hillsboro. And so when we were coming up, starting to play, people would always say, oh yeah, you know, you should talk to these people at this label. And we, you know, for a while weren't quite there yet, but, it's been a really cool home for us. And, I think the thing we appreciate the most is that they have really just deferred to us along the whole journey and let us kind of take the path that we want to take in terms of the music we want to make and the career moves, if you will, that we want to make. And we never really feel a lot of pressure from that. And they're just very supportive and they're always looking for ways to you know, expand the operation. But we feel very comfortable there. We're quite opinionated. So I think it works well for us working with folks that are willing to tolerate that.
At one point I asked them like, who are you most excited about on your label? And you guys were like the first name that popped out of their mouth, which was great.
That's awesome.
And speaking of them, so the new record in its vinyl version comes with a sort of a bonus thing, right? That's traditional songs. Talk about why you wanted to do that and you know what the thinking was behind that.
To be honest, I can't even remember why we went to record these songs. I think maybe we... So there's a studio we love in Asheville called Echo Mountain that's like a world-class recording studio. And maybe we wanted to record some demos of new songs that we had, but we also decided to just record a bunch of live versions of our favorite traditional tunes to play. And so we just were kind of sitting on those for a while and got the idea, I think probably from them, to release a few of them as a little bonus EP. Mm-hmm. It's just with the first pressing of the album. So when they're gone, they're gone. But it was fun sorting back through those songs and picking our favorites. And now we'll play them. We'll pick one to play in the set every night, which is fun.
How far do you guys go back with traditional country music? I mean, do you go back to like Bristol in 27, you know, and that kind of stuff? Because, you know, interestingly, on the topic of the new record, you know, you think of those, so many country music songs are so, the themes are so dark. I mean, going from Knoxville Girl, you know, and naming anything else. But do you guys go all the way back for that kind of inspiration? Do you still listen to that stuff?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of Carter Family recordings. And then I guess anything farther back than that, you know, we don't like dig up old field recordings. I commend people that do and can tell you what the crops were like the year that was recorded, you know, but you know, we also just try to listen to a lot of people that are out there doing what we're doing and covering these old tunes and, you know, just try to learn the songs that really inspire us to go sing them. So
yeah, a lot of times we'll come across a tune that a contemporary band is doing an old time tune and then kind of dig back and try to figure out where it came from.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Typical folk music kind of a trading, and that's how you learn, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But I had special access to this quote here from Andrew. No, this has not been published yet, but it's something I am aware of. Okay.
Oh, cool.
All right. It's concerning one of your influences. Okay.
Okay.
Not going back to Bristol. All right.
Right.
Neil Young is a man for all seasons. If I am feeling great and want someone to keep me there, or if I need a punch to the gut sad song, Neil has me covered. It feels like with each album, he is able to reinvent himself without losing himself in the process. He's a true musical artist and one of my biggest inspirations. So, how did you get into Neil Young?
That's a great quote. Where did you get that?
Like I said, I have special access to this. How did you get into Neil Young? And when you say that he's able to reinvent himself without losing himself in the process, how do you feel that you have been able to reinvent your music?
I'm not quite as daring as Neil Young. But
you
are. Yeah, no kidding. But I first got into Neil Young, it was probably in high school, you know, like listening to maybe like Heart of Gold or something like that. When I heard that song for the first time, I was like, what is this? You know, it's just so raw but perfect. And so, yeah, I think that's where I first latched on to the record Harvest and, you know, started diving into more of the like Crazy Horse and more rocking, you know, Neil Young side. But I think people that latch on to Neil Young's music, and I know Emily's a really big fan of his too, that we share that bond from day one. But I think people that latch on to him, it's almost like he's paved the way to be like, you know, go play the music that you want to play. The fans, if you have people that are listening to your music, you know, if they're not willing to let you, you know, stretch your arms and stretch your brain a little bit and try something new, then you don't need to make music for them. You know, make music for yourself. And I think that's one thing Neil Young's always been great about. And that's one of the things that is so inspiring to me.
Yeah. So we're not expecting the Mandolin Orange trans period or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. No, it's on the way. For sure. It's in the works. But off the record, we can't discuss it anymore.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if this is true or not, but I read this somewhere that in the early 70s, after Neil had gotten some success and had some hits, probably, you know, after Harvest, that he only wanted to record on the full moon because he felt like that was the most creative period. So he would book these five favorite studios in Los Angeles, you know, Malibu area for the full moon, like 5 years in advance. Oh, like he would find out what they are and book them. And if he didn't get there, it was just nobody else was there. But Neil paid for, you know, like the studio time because he felt like, I know I'm going to be creative. And even if I'm not, I'm going to get in there and record. And I wonder for you guys, how does your creative process work? Does it take, you know, something like a theme to get your music going? Or are you guys always writing and recording at, you know, or on the bus or at soundcheck? Like how does it work for you?
Well, Andrew pretty much does all the songwriting, and kind of related to all the stuff we've been talking about, I feel like it's more of a survival mechanism for you, if I can say that, that it's just something you do to live your daily life and to process things that you're thinking about. And it's not necessarily like, oh, I'm going to write a song about this, or we booked some studio days and we need some material. And so we kind of just let it accumulate and then decide when to record and what the songs are about. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we've really come to trust our spontaneous instincts. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times we'll go into the studio not really having an idea of what the album's going to sound like and just start recording and just start playing. And I think that does lend itself a little bit to, on our records, to having that spontaneous feel and that live feel that I enjoy, you know. Yeah. So.
And I think obviously if you look at your career arc, you're definitely doing something right. So don't listen to me. And don't record on the full moon.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, but you are in triple digits now.
Yeah, that's true. We've made it up to 180 since.
Don't sell yourself short.
Right.
All right. One last question for me. You got anything else?
I have one quick thing.
Okay, yeah. Go.
Okay. I was at the record store because I always like to stop off at the record store if I see a record store. And I was flipping through and I saw this, so I thought I'd pick it up and ask you guys if you think this is a good $5 value. Although originally it was a $15.98 value, but you know,
the world's greatest country fiddlers.
It's pretty good, right?
Is Ramona? I thought, oh, that's really cool. Johnny Gimble, Buddy's. I don't know who a lot of these
Buddy
are.
Buddy Spiker, yeah, he's great. Benny Martin,
Chubby Wise, Fiddling I know Red from Heron. The old days.
Paul Warren, that's who he played with Flatt and Scruggs.
Oh, is that where he played? Yeah. So
I've not heard of Ramona Jones.
Me neither. I have to go dig her up. Well, not physically, but...
Well, I will sell that to you guys for $15.98 since that's the value. No, I actually won't sell it.
Oh, let's see. Really Kenny good. Baker, Vassar Clements are all on here, too.
Yeah.
This probably was a good value.
Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to make sure that you guys thought that was good value. I was pretty happy with it, yeah. And I love that it's still in the shrink wrap, but not actually off the record. But what's curious to me, I don't know if you guys buy vinyl, but... It's a gatefold. Like, how can you not take the plastic off and see what the inside of this record is? Like, whoever had that made a bad mistake, I think, Jim. They just wanted to hear the music, but not me. First thing I'm going to do when I get home, crack the plastic.
That open. That's right.
First thing I'm going to go do is look up Ramona Jones.
There you go. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
If you guys cover a Ramona Jones song, just say thanks to Rockin' the Suburbs. All right. On the next album. That'd be great.
Okay. So we started this conversation about talking about playing at the 9:30 Club. You have a big tour ahead of you this year, and in I think it's September, you're going to be at the Ryman Auditorium, right?
Yeah.
First time?
First time headlining, yeah. We did get to open for Josh Ritter there last year.
So, my question is, how nervous are you about that now, as we sit here today?
Honestly, not at all.
Okay.
Thinking about it. Sometimes those big sort of bucket list gigs, it's so exciting, just... the act of getting, especially a room like that where it's just going to sound like the acoustics in there are going to be so amazing that you just want to open yourself up and hear yourself sing and play and be in the moment. So sometimes I feel like we're less nervous for those.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm always way more nervous to just play a house concert for like 15 people.
Interesting. Well, thank you very much for
being on our
show.
Thank you guys so much
for having us.
Yeah, right. We really appreciate it. Yeah.
Cheers.
Though gently she flows, her depths hold no secrets, and that's where you'll find my rage. Where the loss and the tears tucked away through the years rise and fall in waves. It's time we made time just for talking. It's time we made time to heal. But I know she'll be there when I'm lonesome. Tell me just how I feel. Softly, tenderly, using delicate voices, she'll lean in close and draw me near. And once I have heard, it's all I can hear. You may ramble, my darling, but I'll always be there.
Okay, now since we did the interview, Patrick, have you listened to The World's Greatest Country Fiddlers?
I have. It's fantastic.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. And you found some information out.
About Ramona Jones?
About Ramona Jones, yeah.
Ramona Jones
Lay it on us.
Was married to Grandpa Jones.
Wow, that's so cool. I never knew that.
I went and looked her up because
that's
everyone
fantastic.
Seemed kind of so curious about this. Like, who is Ramona Jones?
Mm-hmm.
And I found that out. And Grandpa Jones, I just remember... Yeah, he's, you know.
I remember from Hee Haw.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was a Hee Haw, you know, guy, right?
That's how I knew him,
But he was a musician in his own right.
Oh, and, yeah, without a doubt.
And but he also had sort of that old country comedy shtick,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yes.
Mm-hmm, little corn pone. Yeah, he was really good, and I love the record. It's great. It feels fantastic. It's almost all instrumental, and you put it on, and you know, like you were saying, you're transported to another place in time, which is cool. You know, I love record shopping. It's just something I do. And I'm always there and I'm always looking for interesting records.
All right. Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Now, let's get to the important thing here. You spent some money on record and this record and records in general.
In general.
And another thing people can spend their money on, should they choose, is our show.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So we just started this now. We've been doing the show for a little over 2 years now, and we have yet to ask for any support, but I feel the time is right that we need that to keep it going. So you go to Patreon, Patreon.com, Patreon.com/suburbspod, and there you'll see our page, our Patreon page. You can become a patron, and with participation comes some benefits to you. So you can see different tiers that you can contribute, and then each of those tiers has some, you know, something a little extra for you.
I mean, what better feeling, and I think what better karma do you want to carry around in the world than, you know, going to that top tier, the very top one, and buying Patrick a car, you know?
Oh, is that what it is?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it. Oh, I haven't been on the website, but I'm assuming at the very, very top level, there's a pickup truck with a cassette deck at the top.
I don't know about that, but there is some cool stuff
Maybe
along
some smaller,
the way.
Yeah, it would be a good way
I
to start.
I will say that the lowest level... besides just helping us out and feeling good about that, you will get a Rock in the Suburbs sticker.
That's pretty good.
So that's you know, that's something.
Pretty good.
Right? You can display that proudly on your own vehicle.
That's right. When you paid for yourself.
That's right.
You can feel good about that.
That's right. All right. So check that out. We would appreciate that. And then also let us know what you think about Mandolin Orange or any other music that you like. You can do that by emailing rock@suburbspod.com or... calling 612-440-1984. Leave a message there or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. And then I want to mention again that the latest record from Mandolin Orange is called Tides of a Teardrop.
Yeah.
And it's out on the Yep Rock label. And you can find that wherever you buy records. If you buy one of the vinyls, I don't know how long this goes, but if you buy one of the vinyl records, at least for this first pressing, you get that bonus disc.
Oh, right.
Which I have.
Yeah, which we discussed. They're the traditional songs.
Yeah, it's a four song EP, And it also plays at 45 speed.
Oh, that's beautiful. You know, I love
on
that.
On a 12-inch, yeah, right?
That's cool.
But that's included in there. It's lovely. I got a copy of this. It's a lovely gatefold where you have two records in there, two discs.
Beautiful.
So you want to get in on that early if you can. So pick up that record.
Yeah, you always want that.
And again, our thanks to Andrew and Emily from Mandolin Orange. All right. So with that, we conclude another week of...
Rocking the suburbs.
...of broadcasting. You... can find us on all the big podcast platforms. Please rate and review our show on iTunes. We could really use that.
Yeah, we could.
That also helps us out, mm-hmm. and that doesn't cost anything. Mm-mm. And with that, we'll be back next week with some new stuff, right?
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what it is.
Exactly. All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Four delicious sides.